turns out, actually, men really just want to know. They really want to know what is hurting and what feels good. And if we don't want them to do it that way, then how do we want them to do it? And I know as a woman, it can be really like daunting to think about expressing my physical desires, because as women, we're really taught that we're not supposed to have those. We're not supposed to feel that sexual and that sensual. And we're not like men. We're not driven like men for sensuality. And then men, on the other side of it, in our society, they experience a lot of shame around their sensual desires and their sensual needs. And so what we'll do is find ways to engage in really great physical intimacy, like as good, if not better, than penetration, but without needing to have penetration. And often it can actually really improve even a relationship and the sex life in a relationship, because these new strategies and techniques are so exciting and fun that it's like a boost to the whole intimate relationship, you know?
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stoma for Life. I'm your host, Rafaela, and thank you for joining me today, as I believe this is one of the most important conversations I've had on this show, actually ever. Today, we'll be talking about a subject that many people think about, but very few feel comfortable discussing openly: intimacy after ostomy surgery. When somebody receives a stoma, so much attention is rightly given to the surgery itself, learning to manage the pouch, the recovery, diet, and getting back to everyday life. There definitely is another part of recovery that often gets overlooked. It's how we feel about ourselves, our bodies, our relationship, and our ability to be close to another person. For many ostomates, intimacy becomes one of the biggest emotional hurdles they face. Questions begin to arise. Will anybody still find me attractive? Actually, how do I tell a partner I have a stoma? Will my pouch leak? Will they reject me? Can I ever feel confident or desirable again? These are genuine concerns, yet they are really talked about openly. Here on Stoma for Life, I believe that living with a stoma is about much more than simply surviving. It's about living well, embracing life, and giving people the confidence to thrive. That means discussing every aspect of life with an ostomy, even the subjects that many people shy away from. This conversation is essentially important because ostomates come from every stage of life. Some receive their stoma late in life following cancer or emergency surgery. Others have lived with one since childhood or adolescence because of conditions such as Hirschsprung's disease or inflammatory bowel disease or congenital conditions. Many are navigating dating, marriage, parenthood, and long-term relationships while adjusting to life with an ostomy. Intimacy is about so much more than sex. It's about love, about trust, closeness, affection, vulnerability, confidence, body image, and feeling comfortable, even though you might not, but that's what you're striving for, because you have to let somebody truly see you. In today's program, I would like to ask a lot of questions to my special guest. I'm delighted to be chatting to Trina Rickett. Trina is an ostomy and post-surgery intimacy coach. She's an author and the founder of The Intimate Ostomate. Drawing from both her professional experience and her own personal journey through multiple body-altering surgeries, she has helped people restore confidence, sensuality, and connection after medical challenges. Her work supports individuals and couples in overcoming body image struggles, rebuilding self-esteem, and creating fulfilling relationships beyond the limitations that illness or surgery can sometimes place on them. She reminds us that healing isn't just physical, it's emotional, relational, and deeply personal. Whether you're living with an ostomy yourself, or you're supporting somebody who is having one or is going to have one, or simply interested in understanding these often overlooked aspects of recovery, today's conversation promises to be honest, compassionate, and truly inspiring. So, Trina, welcome to Stoma for Life. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much. And what a beautiful introduction. You really nailed it. That was an amazing summary of what we go through after body altering surgeries and how it impacts intimacy. So that was beautiful. Thank you for having me here.
It's a conversation that I've wanted to have for a very long time. So what do you hope everybody who's listening today, whether they're living with an ostomy themselves or supporting a loved one or even a healthcare professional, will take away from our conversation today?
I think the most important thing is just recognizing how important intimacy is to everyone. And often people who have disabilities or go through crazy health journeys, like what we've been through with our ostomies and our stomas, we feel like intimacy is just expected to be ignored after that, or that it doesn't matter, that we should just be grateful that we're alive. And the whole aspect of intimacy has kind of left us in the dark. And most of us are too afraid to ask questions to our surgeon or even have those really difficult conversations with our partners. And for single people, it can be even scarier because now they would have to explain their stoma to every new potential partner. So not only body confidence challenges are happening, but also challenges with being able to engage in intimacy in the same ways that we used to. That can often be affected by body altering surgeries. So these are all fears and concerns that are so common, but rarely voiced. And I'm hoping that when people walk away from this episode, they will feel a renewed energy to prioritize intimacy and to acknowledge and understand that intimacy is something that everyone is craving, even if they can't express it because they don't have the language. It's just so important, and it's not a want, it's a need.
I mentioned it in the intro, you yourself also come from multiple life-altering surgeries. Perhaps you can just introduce yourself to the listener on, well, actually, what actually led you to becoming an intimacy coach?
Sure, no problem. The funny thing is I used to watch the Sunday Night Sex Lady on TV as a child. I don't know if you have heard of her before, Sue Johansson. And I used to think that would be the coolest job to have, but I never actually thought that one day I would be speaking publicly about sensual intimacy. I grew up very poor, and when I left my small town and moved to the big city, I actually became a stripper. I was an exotic dancer, and I worked in the gentlemen's clubs for many years. And I saw a lot of really lonely men, mostly. So that was kind of my first introduction to what intimacy starvation can look like, or people who are lacking intimacy in their lives. Then when I went through my own health journey, I had an emergency surgery in 2012. I had developed a bowel perforation, and after 2 weeks of going back and forth to the hospital, they finally identified what the problem was, but it was too late to treat it, and they had to remove 75% of my large intestine. And it was very sudden, so I had that experience that many new ostomates have of going from one day going to the bathroom the old-fashioned way to the next day having a stoma and suddenly having to learn how to deal with it. And I did not deal with it well. I was devastated. It destroyed my confidence. I became very depressed. I knew I was getting a reversal, and that was the only thing that I could hang on to at the time. I wouldn't wish that experience on anyone, those feelings on anyone. And so 10 years later, when I was faced with getting a permanent ostomy surgery, I knew that I had to figure out a way to get through it without losing my mind again and just losing my sense of self-worth and confidence. So I started exploring ways to face that surgery, and I came across some incredible techniques and strategies that actually boosted my confidence so much that I'm now more confident with an ostomy and an older woman's body than I ever was in my whole life. So it's just fascinating what some simple strategies and techniques can do for reprogramming your subconscious. What led to the actual intimacy coaching was those in-between years when I didn't have a stoma. I went back to working in the gentlemen's clubs, not as a dancer anymore, because I now had no belly button and scars everywhere. But I went in and I was doing neck massages. And I needed a job I could do on disability and only when I was well enough where I wouldn't get fired. And so that was the only thing that I had found. My community from the dancing industry was still there for me and wanted to support me. So I went back and I started doing neck massages. And that's when I started to see how just a little bit of touch, 5 minutes of touch, could impact people. Some of these gentlemen would actually break down in tears. And I knew what that was like because I had gone through, during my first surgery, I was in a very unhealthy marriage with a man who only touched me when he wanted to have, penetrative intimacy. And because I was unable to have penetrative intimacy for quite a long time, he just never touched me. And during that time, our relationship broke down more and more. So even when I was at a physical ability where I could have engaged in intimacy, I didn't want to anymore. So I went literally years without touch, and that relationship ended. And the very first time that I was touched after all of that, I broke down into tears. And I broke down into tears the first several times that I made love to my new partner. And so all of this, knowing all of this, seeing all of this, and going through all of this just made me have a real empathy and compassion for what people are going through with their health and how intimacy is often ignored. To give you an example, I had a customer in the gentlemen's clubs with cerebral palsy, and he had trouble talking, but we were able to like figure it out because I was patient. And he expressed to me how he wanted touch, he wanted intimacy, but he would probably never have a wife. Never, like, his situation was quite severe. He's in a wheelchair and difficulty with communication. And just how is he going to meet someone? And health professionals had never even talked to him about intimacy or his intimacy needs. And you hear about people in these situations wanting to end their lives because they've just never been touched, and they think they never will be touched, and it's a craving that we all desire. And the whole desexualizing of people with disabilities has just, it was just so glaring to me and upsetting to me. And I'm the kind of person who has to do something about it. So I wanted to help people. I wanted to show them how I regained my body confidence, how I regained intimacy after ostomy, even without penetration. And so I became an intimacy coach, and it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done, for sure.
Said something extremely interesting now. You've used the word patience. Now, I think that can be used on both sides, not just of your partner, but also with yourself, because I find once you are on your recovery road, the patience with yourself is extremely low. I want to start from where I'd left off, and you cannot. You have to be patient, and you have to pace yourself as well. What might work for one person might not work for the other person or yourself. And the timeline was completely unique to me. And I think that's what ostomy to realize as well it's unique to them.
Absolutely. The timeline, and you're so right, because I speak to people so often who are freshly out of an ostomy surgery, and they want their confidence back now, and they want their intimacy back now, and often they want penetrative intimacy back now because they haven't learned how to do it any other way, and they don't want to lose their connection with their partner. And that's so important to us, and it's such a fear when we lose that ability to engage in penetrative intimacy. If that is the kind of intimacy that we, most of us, learned and most of us kind of focus on our whole lives, when we go through a situation where we're suddenly faced with the inability to engage in penetration, suddenly you see us having no intimacy at all. And so we're in a hurry to try and regain that ability so that we can regain the connection that we, have always gotten through penetrative intimacy with our partners. And part of what I help people do is find ways to engage in really great physical intimacy, like as good, if not better, than penetration, but without needing to have penetration. And often it can actually really improve even a relationship and the sex life in a relationship, because these new strategies and techniques are so exciting and fun that it's like a boost to the whole intimate relationship,
But I think to get there, there's one aspect that's extremely important. I think that's just to talk about it and to voice it. And I think a lot of people have not learned, even if they aren't in an ostomy, to talk about their feelings, their desires, what they actually want. And in a lot of even cultures, sex is taboo. The word, the mentioning it, it's as if we actually don't do it.
That is so true. I mean, even my ex-husband had such a hard time talking about, the birds and the bees with our son that I ended up having that talk with him. And yeah, this is definitely a barrier, even in relationships with people who have great communication in every other way. It can be so difficult to talk about intimacy. We, as women, we don't want to hurt their feelings, the frail male ego that we've t been conditioned to believe that men have a frail male ego and that we have to tiptoe around it. It turns out, actually, men really just want to know. They really want to know what is hurting and what feels good. And if we don't want them to do it that way, then how do we want them to do it? And w I know as a woman, it can be really like daunting to think about expressing my physical desires, because as women, we're really taught that we're not supposed to have those. We're not supposed to feel that sexual and that sensual, and we're not like men. We're not driven like men for sensuality. And then men, on the other side of it, in our society, they experience a lot of shame around their sensual desires and their sensual needs, and so they feel like they don't want to put pressure on their partner or make her feel insecure, and every time their partner is like worried about, their chubby belly or anything about their body, their male partner wants to like try to make sure he doesn't make it worse. So he might like stop touching them in that spot, and then she'll think it's because of this reason, and then he'll think it's her reaction is this reason, and nothing's ever spoken out loud. It's all just guesswork, and we don't realize that we're really just trying to do the best we can for each other without talking about it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity,
click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So as a coach, as an intimacy coach, would you also coach the partner or just the ostomate themselves?
It really depends on the situation. I'm always open to speaking with the partner if they want to join in a coaching session. Some of my clients have gone through, because I also have like an online program with videos and exercises that they do, that my clients do each week in conjunction with the coaching that we do on Zoom sessions. And so sometimes they'll go through those videos, especially certain sections on intimacy with their partner. And they're always like, oh, this is so great. Like, we were able to have conversations we haven't had before. We never thought about doing it like that instead of that. And it can have an amazing impact. Another thing that I encourage my clients or anyone to do is when they're following my socials, if they see something that I say, share it with your partner. If it's something you want your partner to know, send it to them, you know, share it with them. And that can help open up conversation or at least educate your partner a little bit about how you're feeling. I try to be very compassionate and empathetic in all of my content, so that if someone was to forward something, it wouldn't insult their partner. It would just educate them in a loving way. I find, like, especially in relationships, a lot of resentment can build when there hasn't been touch for a long time. When the relationship breaks down because of a health condition or a health journey that's just been very stressful in general, never mind on the home, the family, and the relationship. And you come out the other side and now you're supposed to make love again. It's very difficult to, like, get back into that relationship frame of mind of, I desire you, you desire me. How do we build that desire again, right?
And it's something that surely, well, not in my case, gets addressed from the medical professionals at all. It's just, okay, you've healed now, you've got your stoma, it's all working fine, and you should just be getting on with life. But it's mm-hmm. so much more complex. And I think, you know, there are perhaps in a lot of cases intimacy problems before the surgery already. And then to build up from the surgery after that, I think is very challenging as well.
Yes, it definitely is. And there's, you know, there's a finesse to it. There's, to use the word we were using before, there's a patience required on both parts of each partner in the relationship. The first thing really you need to do after a surgery, or even if for people who haven't had a surgery, if there's just been a breakdown in their intimacy, is they need to build that emotional connection again. That's number one. The emotional connection, especially for women. Women really, really need an emotional connection, especially after we've been through traumatic health journey, crazy stuff, you know, cancer, Crohn's, whatever it is that led to the stoma. I mean, it's been a wild ride, right? And so we need that emotional connection. It's very hard for us to feel like we can get out of our head, not think about the bag, not think about our scars or our weight. That's another thing, because weight gain and weight loss are two side effects of major surgeries that can make people feel really insecure about their bodies. But the goal to overcoming that is really about reprogramming the subconscious beliefs that we have about our bodies. And those were created based on the beliefs that we've just grew up believing. This is what a beautiful body is. This is what an ugly body is. This is, you know, and that's not true. The beauty really actually comes more from feeling beautiful than it does from having a perfect body. because I know I have the furthest from a perfect body now, and yet I'm more confident in my skin than I've ever been. So it's very interesting how that works.
I think that adds to your overall beauty because you carry yourself completely different and you know exactly what you want. You know, your desires, your passions, and what you actually want. And I can only touch on my own experience. My partner didn't have the problem. I had the problem. I had to overcome that first. And that also doesn't come from one day to the next. It's a process that you have to go through and you have to be patient.
A lot of it, I feel like it's like first a deconstruction of the false beliefs and the negative self-talk and just kind of like breaking down, like, what am I not? I'm not these things that I keep telling myself. I'm not those things. Breaking that down. And then, well, what am I then? And recreating the self-image of who I am. Now I have a bag. I'm a person who's resilient. I'm a person who survived some crazy stuff. I have some very interesting stories to tell. There's actually a lot that we get, like, in a good way from going through what we've been through. And being able to recognize the blessings that came from the difficult experience can help us move through and out of that feeling of why me, and what now? And then when you get through that, then you start to work on the actual, like, rewiring, because what we believe about ourselves is really just the repeated things that we tell ourselves over and over. It's not just that, it's what we visualize in our minds. So I was visualizing intimacy, my bag farting really loudly, and how embarrassed I would be. And I was even so embarrassed when my bag would fart at one time that I would start crying if it embarrassed me in front of people. I'd have to walk away because I would literally start crying. So it seems like changing your self-talk just isn't enough to rewire that, you know? It requires, like, an actual change in your visuals, the visuals that you have in your mind, and visualizing a different kind of story. So visualizing making love to your man and your bag farts and you both kind of giggle and keep going. Or visualizing that you have a garment that kind of covers it up and muffles it, and you don't have to even think about it. Or visualizing that you fast for a few hours before And you take a little Imodium maybe, and you have no bag action going on. So there's ways to visualize the experience happening in a great way rather than in an embarrassing or horrible way that we're going to feel terrible about, you know. So a lot of what I focus on is visualization, and not just to the extent of changing how you think, but actually engaging in visualization exercises. They're really powerful.
Exactly. And also, obviously, you had the before scenario on how it was before, and then you want to compare to what it is now. But I think that's where you shouldn't compare. It should just, I mean, that's just what I'm not doing now anymore. I'm not comparing because I'm not that person anymore either.
Nope.
So how can that be something that I want to strive to be? No, I want to be this person that I am now. So what would you say to somebody that, like I've said in the beginning, in the intro, we've got a lot of younger people that are living in an ostomy that have had not had intimacy before, that have had not had a partner before their relation, or before they actually engage in intimacy now with an ostomy, or have had an ostomy like in their as a child? What would you say, what would be the best time to actually open the conversation about intimacy, or, hey, I've got a stoma, are you okay with it?
Yeah, so I mean, some people live very out about their ostomies, and so they know if they're at a party and everyone at the party knows that they have one, and then they meet a boy, then the conversation might be, or a girl, then the conversation might become more like, is there anything I should know before we engage in intimacy? And then that would be a conversation you might have. Well, it might make a little funny noise once in a while, or I just wear a thing that holds it out of the way. You don't even have to worry about it or whatever. But if you are meeting someone new, they have no idea that you have a stoma. A lot of people want to like tell them right away, tell the person right away. And that way, if that person doesn't like it, you can just cross them off the list and not worry about it, not invest time in it. I don't agree with that approach because I think that the ostomy and the stoma are just, they're just a whatever. They're a nothing. They're not something to worry about or be concerned about. Another person won't care about it or worry about it or make a big deal out of it if you don't make a big deal out of it. And you could even be a person who has like something that you wear over it, and you don't even have to tell a person that you're going to engage in intimacy with that you have a stoma if you're comfortable doing that. And some people don't. But if this is someone you're planning to have a long-term relationship with and you want to engage in intimacy with them and you want them to know about it, I would wait until you're very sure that you are both strongly attracted to each other. You know, up until that moment that you know you're attracted to them and you get a very good impression, and maybe they even told you that they're attracted to you, and you know that there's a connection happening between you that could go somewhere, that would be the moment when I would say, well, there is something I want to tell you. I'm really attracted to you, but if we get naked, you'll notice I have an ostomy bag. And it's no big deal. It doesn't prevent us from enjoying ourselves, but I just want you to know so you're not surprised. And then that reassurance and letting them know it's no big deal, but just giving them a heads up. Because if you start telling them, like, apologetically, I need to tell you something. I have this horrible, glaring thing sticking out of my stomach. I hate it so much. I wish I didn't have it. I had this long journey. Go into your whole story. That's going to scare a person away. Because in that kind of confession, what you're really admitting is that you haven't accepted your own stoma yet. And so people, that will scare someone off, even if they don't know why. So the first thing really is being able to come to accept your stoma before you start dating, if you can. And then telling them when you're sure that you are both attracted to each other and there's a connection, because if that person already knows they're attracted to you, they are not going to care about your bag. And if they did, let's just say there was that odd, horrible person, then you're really going to dodge a bullet there. And it might hurt a little bit, but like you, at least you didn't invest years into this, you know?
I'm glad you mentioned all of this because it's actually, like you said, it's about you accepting it. You don't have to apologize for any of that because what is there to apologize for? You've gone through something so life-altering and that's so challenging, and you've come out on top on the other side, and you are able to live your best life. And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with, to actually accept their ostomy and then forward.
If they're apologizing for it from the beginning, then they're setting themselves up for rejection. And the other thing is, if you don't accept your ostomy and then you start dating someone and they break up with you, or you start dating and a person doesn't want to be with you, even if it has nothing to do with your bag, often you'll internalize it as having to be because of the bag. So that's another danger to having this body shame around your bag, is that you'll misinterpret, you know, scenarios. Like, as a single woman dating, who I don't worry about my bag at all, and I don't tell anyone about it unless I think I'm actually going to get naked with them at some point. And that doesn't happen very often. I don't worry about the bag at all. But I get rejected all the time. I reject people and they reject me, and it never has anything to do with the bag, or it's just that we're incompatible. You know, it's really hard dating to meet somebody. It takes time. It takes, who knows how long it's going to take, but it'll take how long it's going to take. But you can't think that every person that you go on a date with that doesn't want to be with you, that it's something wrong with you. It just means that you're not compatible. It's not the right person. That happens to everyone, whether we have an ostomy bag or not.
It's just, or they're just making space for the person that's the right person.
Exactly. I love that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Let's just, you were talking about a couple of practical tips that one could embrace about, well, about leading up to, you've already mentioned, you know, the way you would have a conversation of somebody wanting to be intimate with you. You would say, okay, this is what you can expect, but you know, it's more an adventure. It's not, you know, and you don't make a big deal out of it. But so now it's also, like in my case, I've been married for almost 30 years when I had my ostomy. It's difficult for the partner that has already seen you in your best years, also in your worst times, who has actually no issues with it, but for you to actually face that partner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. That is the hard part, because now they're going to see you naked. And it's women going through childbirth go through similar feelings. Like, he saw a baby come out of that spot on my body. And it even can affect men. Like, it can be like, I don't know, I just saw this baby come out of there. And so I think it can impact our partners and us that, oh, now there's this new appliance attached to the body. Will I be grossed out? Is it gross? So, you know, it's good to educate our partners. I actually created a partner guide on and have it available on my website so that when someone has an ostomy, they can print it up and give it to their partner to show them what, educate them about it, that it's not gross. It's not anything they have to worry about. It's not unsanitary. And I also have a guide for people with ostomies. Like, if you do have a smell issue, if you do have problems with your bag leaking, those kinds of things, that's not something that you should live with. You need to find a solution. Some people think, I have an ostomy bag now, I just have to live with this. No, you don't. You go to the stoma nurse and you figure it out, because you, if you're living with frequent leaks or issues with your stoma or your bag that are interfering just with your day-to-day life, then of course that's going to interfere with intimacy. You're living in survival mode if that's the case. And as long as you're living in survival mode, you're not going to be able to come out the other side and be able to enjoy intimacy and feel confident naked in the bedroom. Those are like number one issues that people need to deal with if they are part of the problem. Once you have like the bag under control and you're not worrying about leaks and you're not worrying about the smell, then you can feel more confident. And, you know, partners should know that they shouldn't expect those issues either. But if there is a leak or if there is something that happens, that the way to be supportive is to act like it's no big deal and to, you know, not talk about it in a negative way. Like partners, you know, will often not know what to say. So they might say something dumb or something, you know, that hurts, you know, because they really just don't know what to say. And the first thing comes out of their mouth. So not only do our partners need to be understanding about like our sensitive emotions around like getting used to our new bodies, but we need to be understanding and empathetic about their inability to know what's the right thing to say or do in a situation as well.
Just share with us your website and also your social media handles so that listeners can actually, as you said, you've got a downloadable version of those questions, actually can get hold of them.
Yeah, my website is intimateostimate.com. And my social handles are all at Intimate Ostimate.
Great. Now, we've covered quite a bit already, but there is still so much. And I'm so pleased we're having this conversation because sometimes I feel, look, I'm in the end of my 50s. And talking about intimacy in my earlier years, I've never really shared it with anybody except my partner, obviously, but not even with family or friends who would never talk about it. And I'm doing an entire show about it now, but I am so glad to be able to do that because I think people forget that even if you are in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you still have desires. You still have a longing for partnership and a relationship, and you're entitled to it. You should not have it because you are in an ostomy now.
Yes. Even 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, that feeling doesn't go away. A disability doesn't make the feeling go away. We all need touch. And obviously, in some situations, it's just a lot more difficult to be able to get touch. But there are strategies, you know, there's for a single person, for instance, they could find someone who gives a relaxing massage rather than a deep tissue massage. A relaxing massage actually stimulates these fibers in our skin that are connected to the zones of our brain that tell us that we're safe and that we're loved. And so just having that kind of gentle, relaxing, smooth touch, that can give us touch somewhere that's not maybe as intimate as we'd like. But if we're not in a situation in our life where we can get that kind of intimacy, it is a way to at least get some touch. And then there's other ways of non-sensual touch that you can build connection with people that are maybe not a lover, but maybe even just a family member, like just giving them a hug or putting your hand on their back or on their arm, holding someone's hand. Just little things where your touch shows them that you care. It's hard at first if you don't do it and it's not something that you've done a lot, but you just slowly do it a little bit more and more. You could even be like, walk up to your brother or sister and put your hand on their back and say, how are you today? And then remove your hand right away. You know, that would be like a simple momentary touch, but slowly over time, building that capacity to engage in non-sensual touch, and it invites other people to do it with you. And so you'll see over time that you become more comfortable with it, they become more comfortable with it. Meanwhile, you're putting off this good energy of love, and that kind of energy attracts people into your life. And so that gives you a better possibility of finding a romantic partner.
And also, I think for them to see how you are with what you've just said, the energy that you send out, that's what you get back. And if your energy and your whole aura is positive about it, that will only lead to, well, my firm belief, lead to positive things.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you can tell, like and if you follow, if anyone who follows my socials, and I know you and I follow each other, that I'm very open. I show my ostomy bag. I do lingerie, photo shoots. I speak very openly about it. And so if I were to start dating someone and they've seen me online, they would know that I have an ostomy. Tons of men I've met know that I have an ostomy. They still want to date me. Mm-hmm. It's my energy.
You said it earlier on as well. To be honest, the ostomy is just a small part of us. I mean, it is a big deal, but actually, what does it do? Yes, it's a function that we all do. We just do it a little different, and that's it. And we wouldn't talk about it in a normal setting at all, because we wouldn't want to. Why?
It's Who talks about going to the bathroom?
Just because you can see it with us, but it's just a small part of us. We are so much more than the bag.
For sure. And I really encourage people, like when you're looking in the mirror naked at yourself, and if you never do that, I really encourage people to do that. But to look at the whole person, see the whole person, make a little joke, laugh, smile, do a little wiggle, show your personality, because we are not just this cardboard cutout of a body. We are like this living, breathing, energetic human. And the bag, honestly, is just a tiny part of what and who we are. And it doesn't have anything to do with our worth. Like it does not reflect our worth in any way whatsoever, like zero. It's like a birthmark, or it's like someone who is in a wheelchair, or, you know, it's funny how we'll look at other people who have these kinds of issues and we think they deserve intimacy and they deserve to have everything that they could ever want. But for some reason, we think we've become unworthy of it because of this bag. And the bag is associated with something that is also even more taboo than intimacy, which is going to the bathroom. So it's like a double whammy. But when we start to look at it like, no, it's just that we don't go to the bathroom the old-fashioned way anymore, and we can manage anything that comes up with the way we go now, and therefore it shouldn't interfere so much in our lives that we give up on things like intimacy and love.
Absolutely. Now, sadly, we're almost at the end of the show, but Trina, is there anything that we have not covered that you would like to share with the listeners, perhaps as a closing statement to this episode?
I think one of the things I run into a lot is around body confidence, is that people feel like if they could just change this or change that. And I did this back in the day, get a scar revision surgery because my scar was so hideous, I thought. Or some people are like, if I lose weight or if I gain weight or if I get this procedure done, that then I'll feel confident. Then I'll not have any body shame. Get a reversal, then I'll be okay. But what I found is that confidence comes from a different place than what we look like. It comes from our subconscious beliefs about ourselves. And that can't be changed simply by changing our outer external factors. We might feel better at first, like, oh, I lost so much weight, I feel so much better, or I gained so much weight, I feel so much better. But it doesn't address the actual core problem, which is that your subconscious beliefs about yourself are not in alignment with who you really are and what you really deserve and how you deserve to feel, the kind of self-worth that you deserve to have. And so that takes doing the inner work. And if you're not willing to do the inner work, then you're likely going to continue to struggle with body shame and confidence issues and feeling uncomfortable with the lights on when you make love and things like that. But facing that and doing that work will transform your life, not just in the bedroom, but in your day-to-day life in such an incredible way. So I really encourage people, you don't have to come to me, but do the self-work, you know?
I always say happiness is an inside job.
Yes, I love that.
So, Trina, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for your expertise and your honesty about this conversation and your passion about it. This is a conversation that so many people really, really need to hear, and I'm sure it will give hope to listeners who may have been struggling in silence. So thank you so much for joining me today on Stoma for Life.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Take care. All the best. Bye for now.